Last Sunday, I talked about understanding the will of God in decision making. Every one of us, on a daily basis, you have a decision to make. It might be even as small as driving to the mall or going to buy something for somebody. But it is vitally important to know that we are not living as the world. And our decisions are vital in the kingdom. The way we execute this decision, the way we make... You can make one decision that's going to affect nations, that can affect millions of people. And you can make some other decisions that may only affect your wife. But let me tell you something. If it affects your wife, it can affect a nation. If it affects a nation, it can affect other nations. So we have to be led in our decision making. And I say it very quickly because I'm going to go to part two on this message. And by the way, I am making CDs available on this series on how to be led by the Spirit of God in these matters, because I think this is an area in the body of Christ that has a lot of deficit. I know my personal life. I think I'm going to write a book on my personal life from Africa and how I ended up here and what God has done and what's happened. Not that I've been perfect, but because I have seen how God can lead you, whereby you don't make decisions because somebody told you to do it, because a prophet prophesied to you, or because a pastor told you to do it. But how you can learn to hear from God yourself and make those decisions and see the glory of God. So we talked about John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. And Ephesians 5:17, we said, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In other words, God commands us to know his will. A lot of people don't think about it this way. When you go to a grocery store or to buy or clothes, you can exclude God in that, think God doesn't care about the clothes you wear or the food you're going to buy. But how many know God can lead you into the deals? I have seen God do that so much. Sometimes you want to go to Marshalls and God says, go to Goodwill or Salvation Army. And you come up with a deal, the same product or even better, at a better deal. But there are some who have put tags and marks on those things. And I want to encourage you today that God has some better things for you if you learn to listen and follow him. And we talked about all those things. Romans 8. If you can turn your Bibles before I go to what I want to talk to you today about is doing God's will his way and not your way. Hallelujah. God has his way, but we have our own ways. First, we understand God's will, but let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 13, 1-3 through 16. Some of this may come on the screen. Romans chapter 8, verse 13 through 16. Hallelujah. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. People have problems calling God their Father. There is the scripture right there. The Spirit himself, I like to say, Holy Spirit himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, most Christians, as I said earlier, want to be led by their mind, their will, and emotions. That is called feelings. I feel good. And we need to realize that feeling good does not necessarily mean it is God. You can feel good and you are not in the will of God. I have felt good in some areas. But no, the mind, the will, and the emotions is the solical man. And if you are led by the solical man, you can miss the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we have to have a distinction. How do you know that Holy Spirit is leading you? That's a very good question, by the way. And one of the key things is there, I like to put it this way. When the flesh is leading, it's like you got to have it. Have you ever gone to the store and you saw something you like and you got to have it? There is like hasty, you have to make a hasty decision. It doesn't matter whether you charge a credit card. It doesn't matter whether you have money in the bank. You got to have it. I got to have this thing. I got to have it so bad. When you feel like you have to have it, step back and examine yourself. Examine and say, Holy Spirit, is this, I know I like it. Do you know God can, Holy Spirit can lead you to something just to show you, and then he can tell you, not now. What will you do if he says, not now? And then you go somewhere else, the same thing you like is even a better deal now on another side. So what I'm saying is, one way you know is when it's rushed, when you feel pressure, when you feel pressure to do something, you better just hold off. Hold off a little bit. Step back a little bit. Don't be moved by pressure. The devil and his friends can bring so much pressure under you to do something that will cost you and take you out of God's will. That's just one. There are many. But I want to get to where we need to be today. Second thing. And I don't know why people don't hear this, but you can be going along and you want to do something, like something for somebody, but you feel checked. It's a check. How do I explain things of the Holy Spirit? Thank you. Dear Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you right now that you speak through me as oracles of heaven. That the ones that need to come through me will come through me with no addition. Give me the vocabulary of the kingdom that will relate to the circumstances. That's it. And things we are facing today, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. That check that you send sometimes as you're about to do something and you feel, I don't feel right about it. That means hold off a little bit. God has something else better. You might even be coming to talk to somebody and you are right in dinner, having a dinner with somebody, and you went with an agenda to tell them something, and in the midst, they don't even know what you're doing, but you feel, not now. Don't do it. Don't say anything. Follow that. Don't keep overriding the Spirit of God, because, see, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. You want to know where God speaks? He speaks right in your spirit, man. The devil speaks to your mind. You are crazy. They call you, and you go. As a matter of fact, you can have so much of your mind working that you forget the Holy Ghost inside of you. So if something is coming into your mind and you are here processing it with your mind, you need to back off from your mind. Oh, this is going to be deeper here now. And you need to listen to your spirit, man. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost is going to interpret some of this to you. Let's turn to 1 John 2:27. 1 John 2:27. And I'm going to read this in the Amplified version of the Bible. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Hallelujah. It says this. But as for you, the anointing, which is the sacred appointment, the unction, which you received from him and binds That means permanently in you. Then you have no need that anyone should instruct you. But just as his anointing teaches you concerning everything, and is true and is no falsehood, so you must abide in. That means live in, never depart from Holy Spirit, being rooted in him, knit to him, just as his anointing has taught you. Is there, okay, let's look at in King James. Do you have another background there? No, that's okay. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. What that is saying, and a lot of people say, well, then I don't need counselor. No, and I'm going to, we get to it, look at some scriptures. No, there are people that God will send to advise you to help you. Like pastors and prophets and people like that. But even prophetic word or pastor preaching, it needs to bear witness that that is the word of God and not man. There is a lot of preaching about man's word today to make emotions rise up, stir up the emotions and not stir up the gift of God inside of you. Holy Spirit knows everything. Holy Spirit knows where your cat is if you love cats. I had a gentleman yesterday who loves cats, but he's not here today. Holy Spirit knows what's going on with your body. He knows when he needs more multiplication of red blood cells or white blood cells, or when your blood is thin or when it's thick. Holy Spirit knows who is the best doctor for you. Holy Spirit knows what is the best, whatever it's out there for you. And if you are to do anything, you better fall in love with him. Jesus speaking, he said, I have many things to his disciples to tell you, but I cannot tell him. But when he, Holy Spirit, is come, he'll teach you and guide you into all things. John chapter 16 tells us that. You can read that because I don't have time to really go there, but you can write that down and read. As a matter of fact, start reading from John chapter 15, John chapter 14, John chapter 15, and John chapter 16. You learn so much about Holy Spirit in those chapters. If you're watching online, John chapter 14, 15, and 16. You learn so much. Now, I want us to now get, can you imagine that was just an introduction? Believe me, I'm not going to be long. Doing God's will, his way, versus doing God's will, your way. Over the years in my life, many things have been presented to me that looks wonderful. They look great. They sound great. And as a matter of fact, if I hastened in making conclusion, I would be buying into those things. But over the years, I have learned to take a break and step back and wait. You'd rather be a little slow than too fast. Because if it's truly God, it will stay with you. But if it's not God, it will fly like a little bird, flies right away. But if it's through the Spirit of the living God in something, you are not going to miss it. Because God rather have you a little slower than so fast that you run ahead of him and you cause commotions and chaos and you're in trouble. Now stay with me here. If you have messed up, by the way, God is merciful. He just does not want us to make those hasty decisions again. That's why he is teaching us today here. Many times God's leading sounds like the common sense, by the way. Let me say that again. Many times God's leading sounds like the common sense. I encourage you to let the peace in your heart And I'm going to talk a little bit about the peace of God being the umpire, being like a livery, being like the person, Holy Spirit, through peace, leading you, the peace of God that passes all understanding, garrisoning your heart. There are times when you want to do something and you lose that peace. Why you ignore it? If you ignore it, you're going to deal with it days later. I have ignored those moments in my life, especially in my business, and I have always gotten so troubled and messed up. Why? I lost peace in something. But I was so busy trying to get something done, strike a deal in the business world. I lost peace and I still pushed it and I went ahead with it. And when I did, I knew I missed it. But sometimes you have to wait now for God to help you. And that process is not very easy. Don't make decisions from emotions or feelings. I feel sorry. I feel, No, you can feel good and something, but it is certainly not God. Wait in God's presence until you have peace in your heart about it. If the peace of God is not reigning in your heart after you have prayed, let me use that word again. Because sometimes in the midst of so many things going on, today especially in life, you may think you have peace, but you have conviction. Somebody convinces you something, but it's not really that peace. So I say again, don't hasten decision. Back off and go and spend time in prayer. That peace of God will garrison and will remain in you tomorrow, the day after, the week after, as you spend in the presence of the Lord. Then when you come out and do something, listen, even in Africa, as the International Director for Missions for Christ Ministries, Pastor Angelo can be sitting here, and I can tell you the same thing. I don't hasten in any decisions. He can tell me everything was going on, witch doctors and all, coming to Jesus and all these things. I don't get emotional about nothing. We have these big buildings and all those things, hallelujah. I wanna pray about it. And when I have prayed about it and I know it's right, then I can move and I can do something. And every single time I have seen God do something. This facility he is doing right now with about 20 people. David, put the picture back up there while I'm talking about it. Because I'm telling you, it's touched my heart. 20 people came and raised money to do. They are putting the room. This room will be finished in 2 weeks. He's going to send me more pictures. When he left here, they raised almost half a million in Kenya shillings. I don't know how much is that in American dollars. And there they are with that beautiful roof right now. Peace. So anybody giving towards this, I say glory to God, that's a good ground. Because why? Let me tell you something. You can take the picture home now. I have given to people, one particular person, and I'm not going to mention their name, but they're in the ministry. They were going to do some work in the nation of Tanzania. And they wrote me, you know, sometimes people think of, you know, we sweep money here in America. I'm sorry to say that online, but I don't really care anymore. I guess Brother McGavock, once you hit 50, you don't care anymore. No, just kidding. So he come and tell me I need equipment and we need all these things. And I'm there thinking, oh my gosh. And he's telling me all the things, the wonderful things they are doing in the villages and evangelistic and all those things. So I sent my own camera. I didn't have one, only one. And I sent those equipments and I sent some other stuff. And I said, now when you go on these meetings, I need some photos and videos of what you are doing. That guy never showed up to give me anything. And before I know it, he was posting some of the things that other people were doing on his Facebook page. And I never heard from him again. Now that seed, if I waited on God and really prayed about it, I probably would have had the Spirit of the Lord tell me, don't do it. But you know, I'm just sharing with you, sometimes you can be stirred up by feelings and emotions and you want to really do something and be a part of something and God is not in it. And I'm telling you, it's not a very easy thing to deal with once you have discovered. But thank you, Lord, for this mercy. Everybody see the mercy of God. So I say, wait in God's presence until you have peace in your heart about it. If the peace of God is not reigning in your heart after you have prayed, it could be either two things. Number one, the timing is wrong. Number two, it is not God's will. Again, let me say that again. It's very important, especially for somebody online. If the peace of God, after you have prayed, don't go out and talk with people, everybody, and try to convince them and tell them the deal and all this going on and da 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 da. Before you can share something that you know or somebody presented to you, go talk to your Father first. Talk to Jesus. Talk. Let the Holy Ghost, first of all, say something to you. So you are not led by other people's emotions and minds and feelings. And I love prophets, but I have something for you too. Even when a prophetic one comes, don't just grab it and run with it. They are human beings. God using earthen vessels, and they can miss it too. Pastors can miss it too. But Holy Spirit never misses it. Holy Spirit never misses it. He represents Jesus and God. And you can count on them 24/7. Never misses it. So step back and pray and take your time. Listen, if people want to say you did not respond to them, that's up to them. I say, I'll get back to you in 2 days, or sometimes I'll get to you in a while. That's the word now I'm using these days. I'll get back with you in a while. In other words, I'm not giving you my whatever. I'm just going to tell you I'm getting back with you in a while. So, the timing may be wrong. Something you want to do may be right. But if you do it at the wrong time, you're also going to get trouble. So make sure the timing is wrong, is right, and that it is God's will. Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah 55. Very quickly, I'm going to have to go very quickly. Yeah. Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 9. Isaiah 55, verse 5 through 9. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Wow. So what God is saying here is that you may be thinking something is right, but it may not be right according to him. It may be right according to your eyes, but not according to him. Ephesians 5:17. Ephesians 5:17. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We read that in the beginning. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. After you have determined God's will, it is vitally important to do his will his way and not your way. Let me say that again. Very important. Doing God's will his way. See, in my life, I have been presented with opportunities, and I knew they were right, and God said it is his will, and I jumped ahead of God because I knew it was his will, but God did not want me to do it that way. So was I in God's will? Yes. But down somewhere along the way, I missed his will. So it is important to remain in the presence of the Lord even when you are executing God's will. If it is God's will for you to be in business, and God called you to be a business person, it's not enough just, oh, I've arrived, I'm in business now. So every deal that comes, instead of waiting on God and dealing with it, you just jump and do whatever without waiting on God. There are times I am presented with contracts and I deal with clients of all kinds. And I'll go to prayer and the Lord will say, bid 1, 2, 3 or do 1, 2, 3. And I'll say, Lord, no, that's nothing, no. Now here I'm arguing with him. And the Lord will say, okay. You know, the Lord will not force you, by the way. By the way, if you see something forcing you to do something, you better check it out because it may not be God. Actually, it is not God. God does not force. That's why I have a problem with people who, when the Holy Ghost comes, they shake, they flip, they flop. And especially, not to offend anybody, they run crazy everywhere. And they hit everybody on the road, on the way running, and knock everybody out, and some people are left bleeding. Spirit of the Lord has control. He is gentle. He's a gentleman. You can sit right there and sense his presence. You can sit right there and feel his presence. He's not into all this goofy stuff that some of us Pentecostals do. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to get in trouble. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalms 25, verse 4 through 5. This is Psalmist David speaking. Psalms 25, 4 through 5. I am learning to be a little slow, because it's not how much I put out there, it's how much I communicate. And that's why it's important that I'm a little slower with you here. Because this message is for your daily, day-to-day walk with God. Psalms 25, verse 4 through 5, the Bible says, let me know your ways, O Lord. This is David. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God of my salvation. For you and only you I wait expectantly all day long. Show me, in a King James version, verse 4. David, verse 4, go back. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Verse 5, David. Thank you. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. In other words, Psalmist David is saying, I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to wait on you. Lead me and teach me your ways. I don't want my ways, Lord. I want your ways. Psalms 32. You are in Psalm, just go to 32, verse 8 through 9. We're almost finished here. Psalms 32, 3, 2, verses 8 through 9 in King James Version. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with my own eye. Wow. God is willing to teach and guide us in the way we should go. Is that amazing? And verse 9 says, be not as a horse. Well, I don't know about the horses so much. Those who know them, maybe I would say be not as a mule, but horse, yeah. Oh, yeah, the mule is here included too. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't even know that. The mule is here because we have mules in Africa. That's why I'm saying, be not as a horse or as a mule, which has no understanding. What? Okay. Whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. There are Christians and there are people today, it's almost like you have to. But God is saying, don't be like that. I have put the Spirit in you. John 10:26. I'm just going to finish up with some scriptures real quick. This is probably the last scripture and I'm done for today. Hallelujah. John 10, 26 through 28.
In King James Version.
Hallelujah.
Very important to follow the Holy Ghost.
Verse 26. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Now, let me ask you this question. Who does God know? A sheep. Who hear his voice? But you can also be a disobedient sheep. In other words, you can hear from God and be stubborn. But if you continue to read, it says, and my voice they follow. And I know them, and they follow me. That's what the Bible says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Who does God know? The sheep that hears his voice. Have you ever known that something is not right to do, and you did it anyway? Then you say, Lord, why are you not, what's going on here? And God says, I will help you, but next time. I'm just paraphrasing. And I have to keep paraphrasing because I don't like putting my own words in it. Don't repeat that mistake again, but I'll help you through it. Because of his mercy. I tell you what, were it not for the grace and mercy of God, I think I'll be dead by now. I'll be finished. Thank God when we miss it, that he is able to come and help us again and check us and take us again. Amen? Hallelujah. Why are you getting so quiet? This is good. You know, some of these things are hitting me so hard in my spirit because I know what I've done. And it took me a long time to realize, oops. But you know, how many know, my pastor used to say this, and I will help somebody with this. Almost missing it is not missing it. In other words, you almost ran through a red light, but thank God you stopped. And you know, for me, the Lord had to really help me in that. Because sometimes I'm right in the middle of the road, right? The red light is there and I have to back. I slam the brake and the brake didn't stop me at that white line. And so I go past the white line and I am thinking, you know, you look at the corner of your eye and whether it's the blue lights behind you. But, you know, especially here in Hillsborough County, you have to be careful because some of those people with the camera. And then so I start backing up and I say, oh, there's a car right behind the line, so I better stop now. Now I am praying, Lord, please make this light change quickly so I get out of here. And sometimes God watches us like that. And he wants us to be careful and cautiously. Proceed with caution. Wait. Go. Not too fast. Not too fast. He says, verse 26. Let me read for continuation purposes. 28. But for 27, let me start from 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. As long as you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you each and every day, you will stay with him, and you will see him take you from one glory to another, to another. To another, to another. He'll give you favor, bring you before great men. Finding God's will for your life is essential, yes, but it's just the beginning, as I said. Once you start moving in God's direction, you know that is His will, you have a big target now pointing on your back.
And you need to know this as we conclude. Satan will do everything to stop you pursuing God's will. A lot of people think, well, because it's God, you're never going to be tempted. Or ask Jesus Christ, he'll tell you. Satan will do everything he can to stop you. If you don't bump into the devil, it's because you both are headed in the same direction. That's a powerful statement. If you think everything is just going on okay and, you know, no. When the enemy finds, in this ministry, I'll give you a practical example. Listen, there has been a lot. This place would be packed by now. But people take little things, little things, and they miss God. I can tell you story of the story, even my personal life, where I was ended in a certain direction and I knew it was God's will and the enemy, if I did not stop and I say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I take authority against you. So what am I saying? Sometimes people think when you are in God's will, you never be challenged. But I wish I had more time to talk about that. And I will in our next lesson. You are going to have all kinds of problems trying to follow God's will. You just have to stay sensitive to your spirit, man, and follow the inward witness regardless of the storm. Once you have determined that it is God's will, you just have to continue following that until you know, and until you reach your destination. And we're going to continue from here next time. Because there is certainly a lot to talk about. And in our next subject, I'm going to be sharing about how friends can affect your destiny. If you don't have the right friends, they can misguide and mislead you. And let me throw caution here. I'm talking about friends by the Holy Ghost. Not friends because they are in ministry. Not friends because they are pastors. Not friends because they are evangelists or they are teachers or they are all that. I'm talking about the people that may not even be in the fivefold ministry, by the way, but a true friend will watch over you and guide and help you and pray behind the scenes. They will not even tell you they are praying for you. And many people love God with all their heart. They really want to do God's will, but they are buddy-buddy with friends that some of them are so rebellious. And rebellion is a spirit of witchcraft. So how we're going to learn about how to determine the right friends by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, and I give you the glory. You're a mighty and wonderful Redeemer. I have declared and delivered your word. Now, Father God, your word has been planted into people's heart. For those who watch this online or archive online, I pray that the ministry of your word and by your spirit will bring conviction and help them to flow with you and be guided by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for it. We give you the praise and all the glory. Now, Lord, I bless every single person in this place. And I bless those watching online, and I bless them, those who watch this online as well, that your anointing, that your presence will guide them. And the Lord, they will learn to flow and follow the Holy Ghost, who is our great teacher today. Father, I thank you for it, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Now, we don't like ending our service without giving an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I talk to the Christians, to the believers today, because it's about following the Holy Spirit. But if you do not have Jesus Christ in your heart, you may not have the Holy Spirit. You are not sensitive to him, because when you receive Jesus, then he comes to live inside of you. And so I want to give you an opportunity to receive him. And I'm going to ask the church to repeat with me as you're praying out there. This prayer, simple prayer of salvation. Everybody say, Lord Jesus, we come to you. I come to you as a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I have missed you. I have not followed you. But I want to now follow you. So come and live inside of me. I call you now my Lord. I receive you as my Savior. And I thank you for writing my names in the book of life. Thank you for receiving me today, just as I am. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. If you pray that prayer, it's that simple. Don't let anybody complicate anything. If you mean it from your heart, he's come to live inside of you, and you are a new creation. Bible says all things are passed away, behold, all new things have come. Find a good local church in your area, and if you live here in Brandon, Tampa, or this region in Liverpool, and you are looking for a church, we welcome you to FCM Worship Center. Come and be a part of us. We're going to love on you. God sent for us to be here. We are here to stay. We are here by the Spirit of the living God, and great things are on the horizon. So come and be a part of the family of God and be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless.